Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
There's a potential for this week, but it's an outside chance. If you press me, I'd probably say he's out or could be characterized as doubtful as we sit here. We'll go through the normal procedure. We'll let participation be our guide in terms of availability and then obviously the quality of that participation.
When you look at the situation with George, is there a big picture element involved that you want to make sure you're cautious and you don't aggravate the thing?
No, to be honest with you, no. There's enough things that have our attention in the here and now. We've kind of been in that posture all year. I don't imagine that would change. And so we'll see where the week leads us.
Now, Jerry Dulac reporting, Pickens probably not playing against Baltimore either. That'll be 6 days after the Eagles game. They're going to play it on a Saturday. College football playoff Saturday, by the way. All right, Pat Bostick in with us until 10 o'clock. Jeff Hathorn going to join us at 9:35. How do they go and move the ball and put up points against that defense without that guy?
It's going to be difficult. I mean, the Eagles defense is playing as good as any defense in pro football right now. I mean, they've got to be two-dimensional. They've got to run it. They've got to run it more consistently. But, you know, I kind of feel like this game is a little bit of house money. So, you know, the concern is protecting Russ against that pass rush, but it's difficult not having a guy that can win one-on-ones because, you know, I think Philly feels confident enough to give them a lot of one-on-ones given his lack of availability, and they're going to need guys to step up outside. I mean, Mike Williams made some plays against, you know, last week against Cleveland. They're going to need that again, and if there's one part of the Philadelphia defense that's been a little bit suspect, it's been the back end, but it's still a pretty solid unit.
Would we categorize the Cleveland Browns defense as a bad defense?
I wouldn't say they're bad.
They're not bad.
Well, underachieving?
Underachieving.
Talented. Like,
they're not bad, right?
Right.
The Steelers proved that they could score points without George against them. So they kind of proved that they can score at least 27 points, right, against the Cleveland Browns. I think the way that you go about it is what we've kind of been saying all week. And rely on your defense. It's okay to rely on your defense to win you football games. You've been doing that for the past couple years. And the disbursement of the football with Russ, as he's been doing all year, and what he did last game, and how he's using multiple guys to create production. And he's raised the level of play of a lot of guys. Now, we talked about the target share and how that's probably going to change this week. Now, whenever you are the number one receiver and you're the focal point, you'll get around at least 10 targets. And last week, Mike Williams, he got 4 targets and he had 3 catches, which is a good ratio right there, right? So he's probably going to get around 8 to 10 targets, and they will implement routes that fit his style. And he's definitely capable of doing that. He is older. He has dealt with injuries, but the guy's a pedigree guy. He was a top 10 pick for a reason. He's capable of handling that. So I think that I don't know if we have to overthink this right now. Honestly, at the end of the day, I think the Steelers just go about their business of how they've really been doing things. I don't think there's any other way to kind of look at it. There's no other direction. Only direction would be maybe, and we'll get Pat's thoughts on this, maybe implement a little bit more of Justin Fields this game, because you do need some other production outside of George when George Pickens is out on Sunday and throwing a team off. I don't know where you come down on that of bringing that back up, Pat, but
yeah, I'm like fully off that train. I am all Russ Wilson. The rest of this season, like I'm letting this guy ride. And listen, you're going to have injuries, and they chose not to address, you know, in earnest, another receiver. They didn't get another number one or a number two. They've gotten a collection of probably threes outside of George Pickens, and that's what they have to work with. That being said, they've scored points. You know who's been big has been Freiermuth. Freiermuth's been terrific the last couple of weeks. He's earned his paycheck. You know, he's earned that contract. And you look at tight ends, I just looked up against the Eagles. You know, Ertz had 6 catches for 47 yards. Ingram had 5 catches. Gesicki had 7 catches for 73 yards for Cincinnati. Andrews, 6 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown. Like, tight ends have had some success against Philly. So run the ball, get Freiermuth, Washington involved. Like, when you lose a guy outside and you're able to run the ball and you get that one-on-one, that single high safety look, I mean, tight ends against safeties and linebackers that's a viable route, and Russ has proven that he's got a good connection with him. So, hey, you gotta pick up by your bootstraps and play with who you have, and that's what they have going into Philly. And I don't think that against Philadelphia, listen, the formula defensively is to make Hurts throw to beat you. Like, that is absolutely, without question, the strategy. Easier said than done against the best tailback in football, and a really good offensive line. And Hurts can really run the ball. You know, that is – but I don't think – I would be shocked if this game is 14-10 or 17-4. They're going to have to score. And to me, like, rely on your defense, run the ball. You know, I think they've proven the last couple weeks, again, not against the best competition, that, you know, I would almost go into this game saying, like, we're going to ride and we're going to go try to win this game. Let's let Russ go win the game.
Let him cook, if you will.
Absolutely. Let him cook. It doesn't mean you abandon the run. That's a key part of letting him do his thing, because play action and so forth. But I if I'm going in loose into this game, kind of house money, and like, let's go let Russ do our thing. If we're going where we think we can go, he gives you a chance to win every game you play, which is why I wouldn't take him out of the game. And which is why, hey, even with Pickens not out there, I'm not taking my foot off the gas and trying to low possession the Eagles at home, you know, who are playing as good as any team in football right now. But Carolina almost beat them with Bryce Young, and this isn't, you know, the 85 Bears. So I think you play loose in this game. It's not a division game, and you go let Russ do his thing, because he's been doing his thing pretty darn good.
We'll do this more in depth and kind of a roster comparison when we make our Steagles team at 9 o'clock. But which quarterback would you take right now? Right now. I mean, if you're building, you're going to take the young guy who was an MVP candidate.
Honestly, and this is a flip from 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I'd probably take Russ.
Let's go.
Because I think if you look at Philly, again, they're going to score because they've got, I mean, this Steagles team on offense is going to be heavy Eagles. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Oh, sure.
Outside of maybe the quarterback. Like, honestly, like, it's pretty heavy outside of the quarterback, maybe the tight end. But Russ is playing better quarterback right now than Hurts. Hurts is a better football player because of what he brings to the table, but Russ is a better quarterback, and you win Super Bowls with quarterbacks, guys that play the position.
Would Hurts be doing what Russ is doing if he was on the Steelers? Because no. I know that Russ would be doing just, or maybe even better, of what Hurts is doing if he was on the Eagles.
Yeah, but they bring different elements, because I could counter that and say that I don't think Russ is going to bring to the run game what what Jalen Hurts brings to the run game for Philly.
And you think that his running ability has helped Saquon Barkley this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The threat of it, 100%. I think Saquon's average yards before contact has almost tripled from New York to Philadelphia. Wow. And that has to do with Jalen Hurts and has to do with the offensive line they have.
Well, Daniel Jones was a good runner, too. Yeah.
He was, but I mean, I think that the combination of scheme, talent, all that stuff is what's given Barkley, and he's absolutely just a freak show of a player. But, you know, when you've got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and, you know, that crew outside, and also you're not going to get a whole lot of, you know, loaded front. Like, you're going to have to respect that. So, but I would take Russ. I mean, to answer your question point blank, I would take Russ right now.
Jalen Hurts has thrown 16 touchdowns, and he's played all season. Russell Wilson has 12 in 7 games. I mean, that's incredible. Now, Jalen Hurts does have 13 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, all probably have an average yardage of about, you know, a yard and a half.
Yep. Right, so that's what I was going to say. It's not like he hasn't run for yardage. He has 544 in those 13 games. So he's well on his way to surpassing last year's total, which was 605 in 17 games. But the touchdown element of it, it's not like he's breaking off these massive 40-yard touchdown runs. They're like 6 inches where he's getting pushed in his tush.
It's interesting, you know, Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown for over 200 yards in 3 games.
Right.
3 straight games. And only threw for 221 and 202 against Dallas and Washington.
And that's at least in part why A.J. Yes. Brown hates his guts.
Yep.
Which, I want to get into that element of it coming up next, because who better to ask about that than Pat Bostic? We'll talk about the Eagles' troubles when we return. You turn on sports radio WIP in Philadelphia, and they are talking about an 11-2 football team like they're 5-7. It's insane, and I love it. What's it all mean, Basil? We'll talk about it when we come back. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can give us a ring, chime in on this on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Brandon Graham was doing a Brandon Graham show in Philadelphia and said there's some personal issues going on between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Doran, you're telling me that A.J. Brown came out and squashed that a little bit?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, there's no problems with it.
Drama.
Of course.
Drama. I don't think Brandon Graham goes on that platform with that reach and says it if there's not stuff going on.
No, there's definitely something.
Definitely something going on.
No, but he's not going to just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
He probably caught himself and was like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Whoopsie daisy.
Oops, but he's not.
Brandon Graham's like 40, too.
Yeah.
He's been in the league a long time.
He's my age.
Okay.
Doran says he gets along great with Brandon Graham.
You're 30, what, 7?
36.
Okay.
Played an All-American game together in high school.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah. I mean, Michigan, right?
Yep.
Won the Super Bowl for the Eagles.
He would have played for Rich Rod at Michigan, right?
No.
Yeah.
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 For yeah, because we came out in 2010, yeah.
Yeah, Rod was there from 2008 to 2010.
Right.
Yeah, I think he actually had Michigan on the right track.
The Eagles have a lot of drama. A lot of drama.
So more than just the Brown.
Well, the Sirianni stuff. Mm. I mean, he was on the brink of being fired, you know, based on just his antics and attitude, talking to fans and
that
stuff.
That can't happen.
No, I mean, it happens a lot in Philly. And the, as we look at TV and it's what they're talking about, they're... For a team that's, what, 9 in a row?
Yep.
They are, and you listen to, I mean, I grew up that part of the state. You listen to Philly Sports Talk Radio, it is doom and gloom.
Mm.
And you know, I saw them go to 3 state NFC Championship games and lose, and it was like they're the worst team in the world. But for a team that's 1-9 straight, the narratives are all over the map. All over the map. And they haven't scored a lot of points, but... Again, I said this, and then Josh Allen threw for a touchdown, caught a touchdown, and ran for a touchdown in the same game. I think Barkley's the best player in the league right now. I mean, that dude is special. And you have him, and you have that defense. They're hard to beat.
Real quick, Doran, you ever jumped over anyone backwards?
No.
Have you ever seen that before?
No.
That's insane.
That's not even, like, planned. You can't plan that. Like
instinct.
They were talking about it on Hard Knocks. I think it was the... The Ravens were talking about that. Yeah, because they were about to play him. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that?
In practice,
no. And it's Lamar Jackson.
Lamar
yeah.
was like, I've never seen that.
Oh, my God.
Like well, the one view of like the sideline, and you see the guys react to it, and you just appreciate. Again, I remember watching him in college up close and personal, Barkley. And, of course, I didn't want him to be successful at all, but then he inevitably is in the game. And you just appreciate the sheer athleticism. I mean, the thing that strikes me is just his legs, the strength he has in his legs. I mean, they are massive. Like, he's got tree trunks for legs, and they're just solid muscle. But he's, you know, equally shifty and fast and powerful at the same time. I mean, he's a load, man. He's got it all.
And they got a good front. You got to account for the quarterback.
Yeah, it's
harder.
It's a big deal. They're not throwing the ball well.
Do they throw it more because of this situation?
Perhaps. I mean, perhaps, but they're winning games. So I don't know. Listen, if I'm calling plays, if I'm counting more, I'm not going away from giving the ball to our best player just to appease a receiver. And they're going to get Devontae Smith. They got him back, I think, last week.
Yeah.
They picked up the kid from Penn State who was in Washington.
Dotson.
He hasn't done anything there. Goddard's on IR. So, I mean, they've got some issues. You know, you're not going in to play a fully, you know, healthy team.
It's not an operational battle station.
However, you're going into Philly where you haven't won since what?
65.
65. You don't have your best offensive, your most explosive offensive player. Yeah, the odds are stacked against you for sure.
Speaking of doom and gloom and make or break, do you think this is make or... I mean, Howie Roseman, he's not shy of, you know, the revolving door of coaches. Do you think this... If they don't make it at least back to a Super Bowl this year, you think Howie Roseman will move on from Sirianni?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how good their relationship is. I mean, they fired Doug Peterson 2 years after he won a Super Bowl. And I think that they're in a window right now. I don't have off the top of my head... Barkley's contract status, but I mean they're in a window right now where they're kind of built to win right now. Like they absolutely are. That Lane Johnson's in the league for a while. Brandon Graham's been in the league for a long while. You've got AJ Brown. You've got this kind of set of stars where if they don't cash in and win one, you start to wonder if they're being coached to do it. And so it wouldn't surprise me, but nothing about this week is going to impact that.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be ultimately what happens come playoff time. But, you know, the for the Steelers, you know, this week is really in – I mean, it's not a punt game, which is why I go in there guns and blazing. trying to go out there and
pew pew.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like,
well, even for the Eagles, then for that sake, right? I mean, is this?
Yeah.
And they have nothing to lose, really. I mean, what is this game to them?
No, I mean it's a game where in the circle of pro football, the winner of this game is going to get propped up as, like, for the Steelers. I think the upside for the Steelers winning this game is the national perception that they can win a Super Bowl.
We started the show with that.
Yep.
Can we spend more time on it coming up next?
Yeah, there's so much that we can unpack there. But this game, which is why, and the only way they do that, in my opinion, now they may go win the game 13-10, and I will gladly just eat crow. But I think the only way they are a Super Bowl contender is when the arm of Russell Wilson is active. And this is a perfect week to test if you can do that against probably the top three defense in football.
All right, let's suss that out. That's what the kids say. Even more coming up next. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Going around the NFL coming up next. Kind of doing that right now. Talking about Steelers-Eagles, a measuring stick kind of game, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Steelers in the second tier of contenders, Pat. Pat Bostigan with us until 10 o'clock. I've got the Lions, and I've got the Bills in my first tier. And then I've got the Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs in my second tier. And regardless of what happens this weekend, unless there's a blowout one way or the other, I don't think that I would move either team out of that tier. Does that make sense to you guys? Dorian is making a squinty eye face.
I'm interested to hear what Pat has to say, because I gave my tier before.
I don't think the gap between tier one and tier two is that big.
I don't know that it's super big.
I mean, Buffalo got beat, and Detroit is really, and they're banged up on defense, and they've gotten pretty darn lucky. I mean, the past, you know, clock management issues for Chicago, like they've squeaked a couple wins out of there. But see, I think this game, the Chiefs are in tier one. I'm sorry. Like, they're in tier one. You can argue with me all you want, but until they prove that they can't win 11 in a row like they have, despite the margin of victory and how they've, you know, statted up and all that stuff, like they've got it in their blood to win that way. This game is for, like, the slot behind the Chiefs, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jumping the Bills.
No, I would put Bills in Detroit up there. I think Chiefs are in third right
now.
Okay. And I think this is for fourth, based on how I would handicap the National Football League right now in terms of Super Bowl contenders.
Can I ask him the same question I asked you?
Yes.
I feel like I'm in class. Like, I raised my hand. I don't know why I did it that way.
You're the host of the show. Why don't you?
I don't know.
Just go.
If the game were at Acrisure, would you pick the Steelers to win?
I don't think I feel any differently about the game.
If they had picking, who are you picking? I guess I should have asked that first.
I think Philly wins the game.
If they had pickings, would you pick a different team?
At home in Pittsburgh.
If they had pickings at home in Pittsburgh, I think that I'd pick Pittsburgh.
It's a sizable spread here, 5.5.
Well, again, you're talking about a guy in Pickens. He scored a touchdown. I mean, he hasn't scored a lot of touchdowns per se, but he's worth 85 yards. I mean, in offense. So it's like, That's significant for a team that has only recently found its way in the red zone. I think Philly has the edge. I don't think it's 5.5, though.
What if they played at Beaver Stadium? People always say that stupid thing. You know, they should play at a Beaver Stadium.
I think they should.
No.
Why?
Because
I like the home field advantage aspect of it. I mean, this is the NFL. Like, they don't play neutral site games until the
Super Bowl. This game doesn't matter for anything.
It's a state championship.
This might be the Super Bowl,
though.
Hey,
Doran, we don't need to give Penn State any more revenue.
I'm not giving.
Oh. Good point, yeah.
So they would get it?
It's their stadium. Yeah,
you know what's overrated? The Creamery.
Would you have someone? Yes. Would you allow someone to have a party on your property and not charge them for it?
Yes, because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, right. You're so full of it, fella.
Real quick, every single college football playoff game leading up to the Final Four should be played on campuses. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
I hate. I cannot stand neutral site games in college football. It takes some of the soul away.
Hmm.
Like Penn State should have been at Autzen Stadium for that. For the big, even the Big Ten championship game, they would never do this money and all that. But all, even the conference championship games should be on the field of the higher seed.
I mean, I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
I think you should get an advantage if you're the higher seed.
Yes. And the bands and all of it. The student sections and fun and pageantry.
So the Steelers-Eagles should not be at Beaver Stadium. Perhaps it should be in Breezewood.
Yes.
Is there a stadium in Breezewood?
No. There's
what
barely
school
a Breezewood.
What district would that be?
Breezewood, I don't know.
Breezewood, I heard Pony Muller talking about this the other day. It's not even a town.
Right.
It's part of another town.
It's just a very prominent truck stop.
Right. And I heard hookers, too. Someone texted that in yesterday.
Of course you heard hookers. This is a
big trucker.
It's a truck stop. You know what? That's what gets you down to D.C. You can veer off and head down south to D.C.
Mm-hmm. And Baltimore. My sister lived there. I used to stop there all the time.
D.C. and Baltimore. Thank you for chiming in, Callis. It's great to hear your voice. I've been here for an hour and 42 minutes. This is the first time you've spoken.
That's not true.
Well, you did in the update. I'm talking about like you've spoken to me.
Hi, Pat. How are you? Do you want to have a conversation real quick? I don't think Crowley would allow that.
Good to see you. We can talk during the break.
Derailed.
Doran, am I allowed to stop these guys from doing this?
Yes, Adam.
Thank you.
He's laughing in there.
He's laughing hysterically at himself. He amuses himself. We can all agree on that.
Oh, I'm laughing because you raised your hand again.
Wouldn't the state championship, like if this was the state championship game, wouldn't it be played at Hershey, though? Why
no, Breezewood? They're not playing at Hershey anymore.
I know, but like, okay, 10 years ago.
Breezewood's probably closer to halfway between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia than Hershey.
Really?
Yeah, Hershey's closer to Harrisburg, which is closer to Philadelphia. Harrisburg's about an hour and probably 40 minutes from Philly.
Okay.
Whereas,
3 hours.
Know, 3 hours from Pittsburgh, whereas Breezewood's probably more halfway. Slightly off topic. Great area. About halfway, Bedford, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my wife went up there.
Bedford Springs, yeah. Wonderful. I think there's a high school there. Perhaps you could play it there. But I think it's probably better off being...
That's like a resort, right?
Yeah.
It is. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. My wife went up there with her mom and her sister for a little... Me and the dad.
Yeah.
Paid for it.
Nice.
What?
I don't remember if that's
Lincoln
true,
actually. Financial Field, Acrisure Stadium. Now, is this a game they should play every year?
So, yes.
See, I would love that.
Yes. That's,
this is where I think you're playing. You got Goodell talking about playing games in Switzerland. I mean,
every team should have a cross conference opponent that they play every.
Well, and the regionality of it, what it does for fan bases. I mean, you know, this town, you know, you get it in hockey. You generally get it in baseball, and these towns, they first of all, they couldn't be more different being in the same state.
It is actually crazy how much different.
Which is crazy, and I can actually attest to that as growing up on that side of the ledger. But they hate each other, but it's so good for sports. I mean, it's so good for sports, and it's great for the state. It's the same reason Penn State and Pitt should play. It's good for the state. It's good for the Commonwealth. I should say the Commonwealth,
that's
not
right.
The state.
You sound like such an idiot when you say state, man.
Look at his face. He's taking you serious at first.
I never take him seriously. Sorry. I love him to death, but.
No, that's fair. All right. When we come back, we go around the NFL. I'll throw three stats at you guys, and I want you to tell me which ones matter and which ones don't. Or maybe they all matter. Or maybe none of them do. We'll see. That's next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in about 10 minutes, a tale of the tape-ish Steelers-Eagles will put together a Steagles team because of the history of these two franchises and the Steagles. After the war, during the war, the Steagles.
Mm.
Real weird.
Where'd they play at?
Pitt Stadium, I think, actually.
Seriously?
No way. Really?
I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Would it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that was the stadium that was around. We're going around.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forbes Field, they split their home games between Forbes Field in Pittsburgh and Scheib Park in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
They finished the season third place in the NFL's Eastern Division with a 5-4-1 record.
Wow, winning team. Who was the coach?
Don Crowley. I don't know. head coach.
Smart guy.
Greasy Neal.
Greasy Neal.
Spell the first name.
G-R, Greece without the E and then add a Y. G-R-E-S. G-R-E-A-S-Y.
We don't make names the way we used to.
No.
Like back then, there'd be like John Longstockings Phillips or something. Like everybody had these stupid nicknames. They probably called that guy Greaseball or something. You just love it.
Co-head coaches. Philadelphia's Greasy Neal and Pittsburgh's Walt Kiesling.
You think there was a power struggle there?
Well, they were 5-4-1, so potentially.
They could have easily been 6-3-1 if not for that power struggle.
Yep.
Between Greasy.
Yep.
And the other guy whose name you said that I already forgot. Going around the NFL.
Walt Kiesling.
Brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh's trusted tire source since 2009. I'm going to throw three stats at you. Go ahead.
This is so good. Philadelphia Eagles, Lamar Racehorse Davis.
I knew it!
Yeah. What? Roy Monk Gafford, Al Ox Wizard. This is so good. J. Mule Lahan.
Do you think Ox was a guy that was actually small and it was an ironic nickname?
Yeah. Like Eagle, tiny being big.
The Steelers team didn't have many good nicknames. But the Eagles half of the Steagles had some great ones. Baptiste Manzini, St. Vincent's College. This is so good. I mean, this is just so Bruno Banducci, guard from Stanford.
And none of these guys were fighting in a war.
No, yeah. But this is just so good. Rocco Ganali.
Yeah, just keep throwing guys in as we continue to have this conversation. Russell Wilson, 5-0 against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, juicy.
Mike Tomlin, Steelers, 5-0 this year as a dog. I heard this from Dale Lally of Steelers.com. Russell Wilson in his career, 4-0 against top-ranked defenses in the NFL, and the Philadelphia Eagles, number one in total defense. And then the Steelers 0-10 in Philly since 1965. Which, do any of those stats matter? And if so, which do, which don't? Because I'm starting to think that this 0-10, like, who gives a rat's ass? Like, Kenny Pickett is on the Eagles now. Like, Kenny Pickett's not a Steeler, and that's not a knock against Kenny. That's just to underscore the difference in the teams. Like, Ben Roethlisberger's not on the field. Bill Cowher's not coaching. Like 0-10, like, what do I? It's a tough place to play. They're always generally good. Steelers always generally good. I know that it's hard to go in there and win, but do any of those other 10 games have anything to do with this one? I tend to think probably not.
That's exactly where I am. And Matt, with all the stats, though, that you just routed off, every year's different. You know, who's the coach? You know, I mean, Russell Wilson was on a different team against whenever he played against the Eagles.
Yes.
Like, that, I think that every year is different. So I don't think that the stats matter.
He beat him 2 years ago, by the way. Russell Wilson did. The Eagles. As a Bronco. With the worst head coach of all time. But does that matter?
No.
No. So do any of these stats matter?
No.
I think one does.
What, Russell Wilson 5-0 against?
Nah, couldn't care less, honestly.
Tomlin?
Yep. 5-0 is dogs. And they're a 5.5-point dog. I think that's when Tomlin does some of his best work. Not when he is the target, but when he is the assassin. Probably shouldn't use that word.
Jeez.
Given,
yeah,
you know, that Italian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luigi. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mario.
Luigi. Yeah. Yeah. When they're the hunter and not the hunted, I think Tomlin's at his best. So I'll give some credence to that, put some stock in that.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. I think there's something to be said about teams that can embrace that underdog mentality and utilize it as a positive energy force.
Yeah. I mean, they lost 34-3 with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. And while that sucked at the time, none of those guys are around anymore. So it's a tough place to play. It's not this monumental impossibility that I think some are making it out to be, even without George Pickens. Shall we put together our Steagles team coming up next?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's no more good names. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just looking. This is so good, though.
I've been texted that Greasy's first name is actually Earl. So he's Earl Greasy Neal.
There's no good name. Oh, my gosh.
Give it.
Oh, my gosh. This is so Pittsburgh. A back. He was the 147th pick in the draft in the 16th round from Duquesne, Max Kielbasa.
No way.
Let me bring this up. He's got his own Wikipedia page. Oh man, he was drafted by the Philadelphia Pittsburgh Steagles in the 16th round. Yeah, 6'1", 185. He's from Brownsville, Pennsylvania.
That's a pretty big back for back then.
Halfback, Max Kielbasa. That is like
unbelievable.
Max, that Maximilian Kielbasa. And I'm not making fun of Max Kielbasa. I just think if you were born in Pittsburgh and you played football in Pittsburgh and your last name is Kielbasa, you are like, you are a legend.
Is he from Pittsburgh and went to Duquesne?
He's from Brownsville. And he went to Duquesne.
Wow.
And he was drafted by the Steagles. So I'm looking at not the roster, but the draft. But the, like, oh, man, this is good.
Man, you should have seen the way Johnny Pierogi spun that football. I mean, yeah. He could sling the rock.
Charlie Nalushki.
Here's a Pittsburgh. Is it Kielbasa or Kielbasi?
It's Kielbasi.
Kielbasi.
Even though it's spelled Kielbasa.
Yeah. So you're from closer to Philly.
Right.
When you were...
Just like people say, it's not... Like in Philly, it's not a gyro, it's a gyro.
And then when you forget what it is, you just say Jown. J-A-W-N. It's a John.
John.
Put some extra onions on that John. So did you guys growing up, whenever you would throw some kielbasa on a grill?
I'd never had kielbasa as a kid.
Okay.
Ever. I mean, we had cheesesteaks and stuff.
But, pierogies?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But those are just pierogies.
Yeah. What's Bostic? Where are you? What's your country of origin?
Black.
Well, actually, it is. It's a combination of a number of things, but I believe it is an English surname.
Okay,
surname.
Very good. All right, coming up next, we combine the best elements of these two teams, and we take the best players. We make one team. We'll call them the Steagles. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing.
Hold on, I got a text. Oh my goodness. David Wright, who's the executive director of the Tri-State PGA, there was a Maxa that played for Slippery Rock in 2011.
Any relation?
Keystone Oaks. Probably. Great head of hair on this kid, too.
Can I give the weather?
Yes. See ya.
We put together our own Steagles team next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GM Financial today, high of 30.